Breaking news from WRAL. Coverage you can count on.
Breaking news, state and federal authorities are searching for a man charged with the murder of Wake County Deputy Ned Byrd. We'll look at the timeline of the escape.
Plus, from the Midwest to the East Coast, thousands of people are dealing with the aftermath of severe weather. Why some say they do not plan to move.
Also, Carolina Hurricanes advance to round two of the Stanley Cup playoffs. They know when they'll play. We'll wait to learn who they will play next. And that breaking news this noon, a prisoner charged with murder in the death of Wake County deputy is one of two inmates who escaped from a jail in Virginia. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey in for Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. Alder Marine Sotelo and another man escaped from the Piedmont Regional Jail in rural Virginia early Sunday morning. The facility is located between Richmond and Lynchburg.
WRL's Joe Fisher is live outside the Wake County Sheriff's Office piecing together the timeline. Joe.
And we're learning right now that these two inmate escapes happened about 22 hours apart. The first one around 1 o'clock yesterday morning. The second around 11:30 last night from that jail in Farmville, Virginia. But it wasn't until 4 o'clock this morning that authorities recognized that those two men were missing from the facility. This happened at the Piedmont Regional Jail. Again, this is 140 miles north of Raleigh. Alder Marine Sotelo was being held there facing federal weapons charges and also facing a murder charge in the death of Wake County Deputy Ned Byrd, who was killed in August. The second escapee is Bruce Callahan, convicted of federal drug charges. Authorities say Marine Sotelo is wearing a gray sweatshirt and sweatpants. Callahan is wearing blue shorts, no shirt, and white tennis shoes. The Prince Edward County Sheriff's Office says this morning they launched a search, again, right after 4 o'clock this morning, using helicopters, canines, and officers there on the ground. So far, no success. The men are still on the run. Deputy Ned Byrd was on patrol in August in Wake County when he noticed a suspicious truck and pulled over to investigate. He was found dead outside of his squad car, shot four times. Marine Sotelo's brother, Arturo Marine Sotelo, is also charged with murder, but not involved in the escape. I did get a chance to talk with the superintendent of the Piedmont Regional Jail this morning. He tells me that both of these escaped inmates were staying in the same housing unit. He described it as a big dorm-style unit there with 70 to 80 other inmates. And right now, it's believed that those two inmates managed to manipulate the locking system on a rear exit door, and that is how they were able to escape. Again, both of those men are still on the run. Authorities up in Farmville, Virginia, are asking the public to be on the lookout. Of course, anyone with information about either of these two gentlemen is being asked to call 911. Back to you.
Shocking details. Two of them got out at separate times and nobody recognized either of them leaving. Joe Fisher live for us this noon. Thanks for that update.
And happening now in the WRAL Live Center, we have more information about that second escapee from that federal prison that Joe just mentioned. This is the guy we're talking about here, 44-year-old Bruce Callahan. He goes by the nickname of Hoss. He, too, is from North Carolina, like Marine Sotelo. He was serving time on multiple federal drug charges, including trafficking fentanyl and cocaine. According to the authorities there in Virginia, Callahan escaped around 11:30 last night, about 22 hours after Marine Sotelo escape. Both men are considered dangerous, and you're asked to call authorities if you see them. We'll continue to monitor this story here in the WRAL Live Center.
Thanks, Ken. We also now know the name of the person who died in a single vehicle crash in Raleigh. This is video from the WRAL Breaking News Tracker showing the scene on Lake Woodard Drive near Corporation Parkway Sunday. Police responded to the crash a little after 5 p.m. Officers say Babacar Bop was speeding in the eastbound lanes of Corporation Parkway when that vehicle left the road and hit that tree. Bop was declared dead at the scene. The case remains under investigation.
We are working to learn new details about a man who reportedly confessed to Ohio police that he killed his wife in Harnett County. WRL's Brian Schrader joins us with the latest on the investigation. Brian.
Michelle, this afternoon we're trying to learn exactly when Jeffrey LaCortiglia is going to be extradited to North Carolina. Right now he's in a jail in Ohio. Officers say that LaCortiglia walked into the Hamilton Township, Ohio Police Department yesterday and said that he shot and killed his wife in Spring Lake. Police say that he provided authorities with the code to get into the home on Swain Street, and that's when Harnett County deputies found the body of Blanca LaCortiglia. Police say that Jeffrey LaCortiglia then went to his mother's home in Ohio, and she told him to surrender to police. The LaCortiglias have an 8-year-old son who is with a grandparent in Ohio. WRL's Gilbert Bays is working on this story. You can see his updates beginning today at 4 here on WRL News.
All right, Brian, thank you for that. NC State University continues its support for students today after two recent student suicides happened last week within 24 hours of each other. Counseling services are happening throughout the day. Counselors will have a room in the Tally Student Union until 4 o'clock. 7 students have died by suicide since August.
Severe weather is hitting parts of our country again as the Mississippi River continues to rise. It's expected to crest today and flood more homes and businesses along its banks. NBC's Jesse Kirsch is watching those floodwaters and more.
With some neighborhoods already submerged, this morning the Mississippi River is still spilling over its banks around Davenport, Iowa. The floodwaters there are expected to keep rising until around midday, coming after a multi-state mess on the East Coast this weekend, with severe storms spawning destructive tornadoes. A twister ripping through Virginia Beach overnight, damaging up to 100 homes and leaving thousands in the dark. But thankfully, officials say no one was hurt, while Southeast Florida is recovering from this EF2 tornado.
Oh my God.
The National Weather Service says the twister touched down near Palm Beach Saturday, with destructive winds gusting up to 130 miles per hour. Homes destroyed, cars tossed over, and trees ripped from the ground.
It's loud, it's scary, and lightning everywhere.
And communities back in the Midwest cleaning up and bracing for more flooding.
Kind of speechless. My first time down here during the flood, and just kind of riding it out with the neighbors, showing me what to do.
Near Davenport, some people are not taking the chance of trying to walk or drive in a car to their homes, even though this is a street. Because of so much flooding from the Mississippi River, instead, some people are going down this road by boat.
Some in the hard-hit area are ready to move.
So staying here is starting to hurt your livelihood.
It definitely is. We've lost a lot of product this year.
But others say it's not enough to make them leave their homes.
It's quiet, it's beautiful, and we get to wake up to that. We wouldn't change it. This is nothing for what we get.
It was Jesse Kirsch reporting. Right now, hundreds of customers in the Triangle are without power, most in Orange County following weekend storms. Some outages still linger in Durham. Duke Energy reports many of the power outages are due to fallen trees and limbs that damaged equipment. We just checked the Duke Energy map, and currently a little more than 400 customers are without power. The company expects to have power restored within the hour. National Hurricane Preparedness Week is underway. The National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration, NOAA, encourages everyone to get ready ahead of hurricane season, which begins June 1st. National Hurricane Preparedness Week runs through Saturday.
It's a busy day for the state Senate. One of the bills lawmakers will take up today would add restrictions to transgender athletes and their decisions to play sports. WRL's Laura Levine is at the legislative building in downtown Raleigh with what's in that bill.
This bill would bring major changes to high school sports eligibility, including for students who identify as transgender. So let's break down Senate Bill 636, also known as the School Athletics Transparency Bill. The bill says sports team must be designated as either male, men, or boys, females, women, or girls, or co-ed, or mixed. Activities designated for females, women, or girls should not be open to students of the male sex, according to the bill. Now, current NC High School Athletic Association rules allow student athletes who identify as transgender an opportunity to play sports based on their gender identity. Now, at least 20 states have passed state laws banning transgender students from participating in sports based on their gender identity. This has received a lot of pushback from advocates who say the bill welcomes discrimination and it targets the most vulnerable community, being young people here in North Carolina. This is up for discussion today at 4 p.m. Laura Levine, WRL News in Raleigh.
Today, recommendations will be made for how money will be spent next year in Wake County. County Manager David Ellis will present his budget proposal tonight during the Board of Commissioners meeting. The superintendent for Wake County Public Schools has requested more than $650 million, which is an increase of nearly $56 million over the previous fiscal year. Today's meeting is at 5 o'clock and will be live streamed on the county's website. We'll update you as soon as we learn what some of those spending recommendations are. And starting today, PwC customers will be paying higher rates for electric, water, and sewer services. The company says increases are needed because of higher costs for materials and building projects. PwC says the increases will help the company replace old pipes and also upgrade treatment plants.
We now know when the Carolina Hurricanes will hit the ice again for round two of the Stanley Cup playoffs. The NHL dropped new details overnight and plan to release more later today. WRL's Nia Harden walks us through what we can expect in the coming days.
Tickets are already on sale, and Canes fans are going to be grabbing those quick. We believe they'll likely sell out. This news coming out overnight for games one and two. That's going to be Wednesday and Friday. Both will be here at home at PNC Arena. Who the Canes will play is still up in the air, though. Tonight, the New Jersey Devils play the New York Rangers. The winner will move forward to go against the Hurricanes. Right now, the Devils and Rangers are tied. Canes fans will see a full schedule after tonight's game. We'll also post that for you on the WRAL News app. Nia Harden, WRAL News in Raleigh.
And breaking here in the WRAL Live Center, today, May 1st, is usually considered May Day when workers rally for and celebrate labor rights. Well, let me take you to these live pictures coming in right now out of Paris. You can see police in riot gear. This is as a result of thousands of people taking to the streets in Paris, just upset about pension reform. This has been happening for the last several days there in Paris. Thousands of people have taken to the streets marching in the They've converged on this particular park area. But again, these are Paris police in riot gear, just preparing for anything that could happen. Emmanuel Macron, the president of France, raising the retirement age from 62 to 64. That has angered people for several weeks and months in this area of Europe. But this is just one of the many demonstrations happening all across Europe in celebration or in observance of May Day.
All right. Thank you, Ken. Next at noon, a Democratic push for President Biden and the 2024 field could be expanding on the Republican side. Who's set to announce a run for president?
Also, the coronation of King Charles is just days away. The final preparations being made in London.
Plus, social services is coming under fire after a family in Durham says a baby was wrongfully taken from them. How they're suing to get the baby back. Elizabeth?
And sunshine out there is luring golfers there in Pinehurst, but temperatures are cool. I'll show you how far below normal we'll see for today's high and how many days in a row we'll see those cool temperatures.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
The Republican field for 2024 may be expanding again. South Carolina Senator Tim Scott is expected to announce his bid for the White House next month. Doug Luzada reports it comes as many prominent Democrats are circling the wagons around President Biden.
Two more years is going to be hard as a Dickens to suffer through. 6 years. Somebody give me a seat. Lord have mercy. Can't do it.
It looks like South Carolina Senator Tim Scott is all but in. He's teasing an announcement later this month and is widely expected to join the Republican field for the White House in 2024.
Well, thank you very much. What a group this is.
But like other GOP candidates, he would have to tackle Donald Trump, who has widened his lead among Republican primary voters, and argue for a generational change that many leaders in the party have been pushing for.
We've been governed for 32 years by members of the greatest generation, and the idea of an 82-year-old and a 78-year-old battling out for the White House is not people's idea of what they want to see.
But President Biden is almost assured of being the standard bearer for Democrats, and many spent the weekend backing his run for a second term.
I think people should judge presidents on their performance and their record.
not on their age.
Biden is continuing what has so far been an arm's-length reelection campaign, something he joked about over the weekend at the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
In a lot of ways, this dinner sums up my first 2 years in office. I'll talk for 10 minutes, take zero questions, and cheerfully walk away.
As Doug Luzada reporting, we checked. We didn't see any campaign events for the president's schedule this week.
King Charles is just days away from receiving the crown at his official coronation ceremony. NBC's Molly Hunter reports from London, where final preparations for festivities are underway.
That's right. It is a flurry of activity here at Buckingham Palace. 5 days to go. Last minute construction. Huge press city kind of overlooking Buckingham Palace. Lots of tourists who've come by to see what it looks like. But we are learning some new details about the actual coronation service and a couple modern twists. So we understand that there will be a much smaller congregation than we saw in 1953 with Queen Elizabeth II. 2,000 guests compared to 8,000. And then there is a moment. And just like his mother, King Charles will have this moment off camera and in private. It is the anointing. It is the moment when he believes he transforms from man to monarch. There will be a screen, which his mother did not have, but there will not be a camera present for that moment. And the other kind of modern twist on something that we saw and we have seen in coronations past, where peers kneel and pledge allegiance to the king. This time, the Archbishop of Canterbury, who will be presiding over the service, will invite the public, those in Westminster Abbey and those around the country and the world watching, to pledge allegiance to the king. Now, this is quite controversial. This is being talked about a lot on this side of the pond. And many anti-monarchists think that it is too tone deaf, think it is too traditional, almost medieval, and don't plan to partake. We did speak, though, with some tourists and some Brits out there today who thought actually it made them very proud and very excited for the whole event to kind of gather, to partake, and to pledge allegiance to their king. Molly Hunter, NBC News, London.
And you can watch the coronation of King Charles live this Saturday right here on WREL.
A Wake County senior gained recognition for service to her community this morning on Today.
Listen, when young people do great things, I think we should celebrate them. I want you to meet Addison Wall from Cary, North Carolina. She's a senior at Green Hope High School. And as Craig said, these kids don't like to brag on themselves, but we'll brag on them.
Yeah, Addison Wall has worked a part-time job since she was 14 years old. She ran cross country for Green Hope all 4 years of high school and still found time to log more than 200 volunteer hours with places like Habitat for Humanity, Make-A-Wish, and the Red Cross Club. She says she does it to make a difference in her community. After a brief interview, Wall announced to the nation at which university she'll study this fall.
We have a backpack here. Now it's Addison's turn. All right, Addison, go for it. She is going to tell us where you're going.
Wolfie's charged up, huh? Addison won't have time to get homesick. She'll be staying right here in Wake County. She plans to study global relations at NC State.
Oh, my gosh. That's fantastic. I mean, what a gal. She is involved in so many great organizations. I mean, she's got it all, really.
It would have been super weird if she didn't pick NC State with Wolfie right there.
Right? Like, you know? Oh, by the way, no, you can go back to North Carolina. I'm not going there.
She'll be in the Wolfpack. That's so, yeah. So good.
Congratulations to her.
Elizabeth Gardner in the WR Severe Weather Center right now with that cool breeze behind you there.
I got the red on. Does that count?
Yeah, that counts.
Yeah.
That counts. You're
I
in.
Love that. Yeah, they're doing good. That. It looks like they were just announcing for a lot of these really special, amazing students where they're going to college on the Today Show. That's so cool. I love it. Right now, looking at partly cloudy skies, and look at what's happening here with the whirligigs in Wilson. They are really spinning. We're starting to see some gusts up to 30 miles per hour, and that's going to be the biggest thing this afternoon weather-wise. It is windy out there. It's cool, too. Right now, it's 64 degrees, and we won't get much warmer than that. Looking at temperatures in the upper 60s this afternoon, our dew point is a very pleasant 40 right now, so our air mass is nice and dry. Our winds are coming out of the northwest, and that is always a chilly flow. It's actually coming straight out of Canada into North Carolina. And our winds are anywhere from 15 to 20, 25 miles per hour steady. Steady winds are in the blue box and gusts are in the white box. So we're gusting to 26 in Southern Pines, gusting to 30 in Durham and Raleigh, gusting to 31 in Rocky Mount and 33 in Fayetteville. So it is definitely blustery out there. That's exactly what we were expecting. But we will see the wind starting to die down after sunset. sunset. Just going to be windy for us through the afternoon until we get to sunset. Looking at 68 this afternoon in Raleigh, 67 in Durham, and 72 in Fayetteville. So if you are headed to practice with your kids, when I used to go to soccer practice, you know, it looks sunny, it looks nice out there, but it's breezy. And if you're in the shade, you're going to wish that you took a sweatshirt with you. They're going to love these temperatures, though. 6 o'clock, 65, and 8 o'clock, 61. Anybody who's going to be out running this afternoon, these temperatures are feeling great. It's going to be another chilly night tonight. We'll drop down to 47 in Roxborough, 51 in Fayetteville, 49 in Rocky Mount. That'll be a little warmer than what we saw this morning, but not by a whole lot. Right now, we're looking at a very refreshing muggy meter right down here at 40. And we're going to see this all the way through to Friday. We're going to bump it into, say, the 48-degree category, looking still at comfy. So we've gotten rid of all of the humidity, but we've also gotten rid of the warmth, too. We have a big area of low pressure that's circulating here around the Great Lakes, and that is dumping some cold air on us. The coldest day is likely to be Wednesday, and then after that, the temperatures will begin to moderate. That low will move out, high pressure will build in, and that will stop or at least curb that flow of cold air coming from Canada, and temperatures will get a little closer to normal, but not quite there. Our normal high is 77. We're in the 60s through Wednesday, low 70s on Thursday and Friday. Komen Race for the Cure. We are, of course, a proud sponsor of the race on Saturday. Temperatures for runners look good at 7 a.m. 54, at 9 o'clock 58, 63, 11 o'clock. So a little on the cool side for spectators. It will be mostly cloudy, and there will be a very, very small chance for a shower. It looks like our cool temperatures could continue all the way through almost the middle of May, looking at May 10th with the potential for cooler than normal temperatures. Again, over the weekend, it looks milder, 73 on Saturday and 75 on Sunday.
All right. Thank you, Elizabeth. Tonight on your news at 5 months after students first reported finding lead in campus buildings, UNC has finished testing. Monica Casey has the results and what comes next.
Then at 5:30, viewers are telling us credit card companies are lowering their credit limits. Five on Your Side explains why and what you can do to protect your spending power. And still ahead this noon, Walmart finds itself at the middle of another lawsuit. The accusation powering this legal action.
Plus, a new study reveals the places where people are going to retire the most. Find out if North Carolina made that list.
Walmart and Energizer are being sued by consumers and retailers in three proposed antitrust class action cases. They're accused of conspiring to raise prices of disposable batteries. The complaints allege Energizer agreed under pressure from Walmart to inflate prices for other retailers starting in 2018 and require those chains not to undercut Walmart or risk being cut off. The suits claim the scheme resulted in Energizer and Duracell charging higher prices. Together, they control 85% of the market. Double check your pantry before making breakfast, and there is an urgent recall you need to know about regarding a popular cooking product. Could go for lunch as well. General Mills says some of its gold medal flour is being pulled from store shelves because of salmonella risks. The warning is for 2- and 5-pound bags of bleached all-purpose flour. The 5- and 10-pound bags of unbleached all-purpose flour with better if used by dates of March 27th and 28th of 2024 are also included in that recall.
Twitter will soon allow media publishers to charge users who read their articles on the platform. Starting this month, users can pay a small fee to click on an article. Musk says it's a, quote, win-win for both users and media outlets. For those who don't already have a monthly subscription to a certain publication, they can soon just pay a price to read an occasional story. And make sure you check the Uber before you leave the vehicle. The company is releasing its list of the bizarre lost and found items. A few of the items left behind included an ankle monitor, a fog machine, even fake blood. Other lost items included rat traps, a lightsaber, and a slab of bluefin tuna. San Antonio, Palm Springs, California, and Houston all top the list of cities where passengers left these items behind. What?
So bizarre.
Yeah.
The family of a disabled toddler who was wrongfully taken and placed in an institution is demanding action. The steps they want DSS to take to prevent future cases of trauma like this.
Plus, skin cancer is the most common cancer in the U.S. Sunburn during childhood can nearly double the chances of developing it later in life. The steps you can take to protect your little one. And as we head to break, here's a look at your winning lottery numbers. Good luck.
shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
A nonprofit organization is demanding change from the Durham County Department of Social Services.
This comes after a baby with special needs was taken from his mother who has disabilities. WRL's Destiny Patterson is in Durham, where she spoke with his grandmother, who says her family had to sue to get him back. Destiny?
That's right. Priscilla Smith says that her family fought for more than a year to get Zeron back. In that time, she says that Zeron was held in an orphanage despite having family that was able to care for him. His mother has severe medical conditions. And Priscilla says that the Department of Social Services would not let her take in her grandson because she was moving and considered technically homeless at the time. Take a listen to what she had to say.
Unfortunately, no family should have to sue to get their loved one back.
We expect for the Department of Social Services to do better. We expect not to have to stand here with mothers who have fought for decades some just to get their children the help that they needed and in turn to be demonized and criminalized.
In September, Emancipate NC released a report and made several recommendations for departmental changes, including more social workers for parents and increased visitation time. It's a nonprofit organization committed to what they say dismantling structural racism and mass incarceration. The department says that they should make reuniting families a higher priority. Now, since that news conference this morning, I've obtained that lawsuit and I've reached out to the county directly. I'll let you know if I hear back and what they have to say.
Certainly will be interesting to hear what they have to say about this. Destiny Patterson live in Durham for us this noon. Destiny, thank you. Things may get a bit harder for hospitals as they try to collect medical debt from millions of people across North Carolina. Today, the Senate will vote on a bill aimed at implementing more protections. The bill would enact multiple pro-patient rules that would add new legal protections, including making prices transparent and holding hospitals accountable if they hide those prices. We have a full breakdown of the bill online at WRAL.com.
And WRAL is following a developing story out of Clinton, where at least two people are dead and another is hurt in a crash. The WRAL breaking news tracker was at the scene. Michael Grace explains what investigators know so far about the crash.
Yeah, and state troopers say the car was going over 80 miles per hour before it crashed. This is what the scene looked like last night. State troopers tell me at around 11:45, the car went off the road, hit a ditch, and then kept going before crashing into the tree line. And as you said, the car splitting in half, and you can see the damage from what's left of it. State troopers have also confirmed the driver who died was 21-year-old Lucas Ramos Garcia of Clinton. They're still working to identify the two other people involved, but the one who did survive had to be taken by helicopter to Wake Med. I've been in contact with state troopers throughout the morning, hoping to get an update on those identities and find out if alcohol played a factor. In Clinton, Michael Grace, WRAL News.
And we continue to follow that breaking news here in the WRAL Live Center. Two escapees from the Piedmont Regional Jail in the Virginia area. And one is of particular interest in North Carolina. And this guy, Alder Sotillo, Marine Sotillo, who is facing a murder charge in the death of Wake County Deputy Ned Byrd, who was killed back in August. Sotillo escaped just after midnight Saturday. He was missing for several hours before anybody knew he was gone. He and a second inmate, this guy, 44-year-old Bruce Callahan, he escaped about 22 hours later at 11:30 p.m. He goes by the nickname Hoss. He was serving time on multiple federal drug charges, including trafficking fentanyl and cocaine. Both men have ties to North Carolina. Authorities didn't know they were missing until 4 o'clock this morning. A major search is underway for these two guys, including helicopters, canine units, officers on the ground. Authorities say Sotillo and Callahan somehow manipulated a lock on a rear door and got out. Both men are considered very dangerous. If you see them, you're asked to call the local authorities. Again, we'll continue to follow this breaking news. We'll have new reporting on this story starting at 4 right here on WRAL.
It is a busy day for the state Senate. Lawmakers are preparing to vote on a bill that could apply to some drag shows. Laura Levine is on this story as well.
Some lawmakers want to toughen the punishment for spreading obscenity in front of children, a bill that could impact drag show events here in the state of North Carolina. Lawmakers are considering restrictions on drag show performances, including where they can be held and whether children can be present. This really comes after drag show brunches became open to all ages and the popularity of drag story time events. The proposal would make intentionally spreading obscenity in front of anyone under age 18 a higher level of felony. That would allow the offender to receive active jail time on a first offense. Drag show performers and LGBTQ plus activists criticize the measure as an attempt to vilify transgender people by wrongfully connecting them with criminal activity. This is coming up for a vote today at 7 p.m. Laura Levine, WREL News in Raleigh.
Money for private schools would become one of North Carolina's biggest education expenditures under two bills making their way through the General Assembly. Senate Bill 406 and House Bill 823 have major Republican support but are opposed by many Democrats. WRL's Education Insider found the bills will give more families more choices, but it will also take public money away from public schools, which stand to lose millions of dollars under the expansion. For a full breakdown of all this, you can go to the education section of WRL.com.
Funding for Durham Public Schools projects could be moved to fund the North High School replacement project. Tonight, Durham County Commissioners will talk about whether or not to allocate $1.3 million for the project. The district says the project that loses money from the move will not go away, and there are other funds to take care of them. They'll talk about how to make them happen in the future at tonight's meeting. And starting today, you'll be able to adopt a cat or a dog for only $25. APS of Durham says it's teaming up with Bissell Pet Foundation and Dogtopia to empty the shelters and find pets some forever homes. APS is one of more than 350 organizations across the country that's participating in this life-saving nationwide event. The reduced fees run until May 15th.
Coming up this noon, a dangerous trend is making the rounds again on social media and landing kids in the hospital. The warning for parents this afternoon.
Plus, turns out flossing is good for your heart. Why doctors say this tedious task is worth it.
Our county-by-county coverage takes us to Franklin, Cumberland, and Person counties. Today, the idea for a new playground in Franklinton Park will be discussed. Franklin County commissioners will talk about whether or not to approve $295,000 for the project. The money would pay to replace old equipment. And today is opening day for all splash pads in Fayetteville. You're looking at video of the splash pad at Honeycutt Park. The city will soon welcome another splash pad at Mabel C. Smith Park. Fayetteville Cumberland Parks and Recreation held a groundbreaking ceremony this morning. It'll be the 14th splash pad in the city. Now to Person County, where more than 200 people responded to a survey about the proposed streetscape plan in Roxborough. The lack of handicap accessible parking, damaged sidewalks, and blocked paths were identified as the top three barriers for accessibility uptown. Lighting problems, street crossings, and sidewalk quality were named as the top three safety concerns. The full presentation can be found at cityofroxborough.com under the News tab.
A renewed warning this afternoon about an old challenge from a social media site. The so-called Benadryl challenge goes back several years. TikTok even blocks the search for any videos with the Benadryl name in it, yet it persists on the internet. A 13-year-old boy in New Jersey is recovering after swallowing an unknown number of the allergy pills.
From when they're little, you hide dangerous medications so they don't accidentally take something. As they get older, you hide dangerous medications so they don't intentionally take something.
And here are some ways that you can spot your child has had too much Benadryl. It's a mild cases. Side effects include sleepiness, dry mouth, and constipation. And in severe cases, you may experience delirium, psychosis, seizures, coma, even death. And flossing your teeth can sometimes feel like a chore, but it's an important part of dental hygiene and heart health. Studies reveal a connection between periodontal disease and heart health. Patients that have periodontal disease are at a much greater risk of having heart attack, heart disease, stroke, and even bacteria in the heart. If you have trouble flossing, dentists recommend that you try using a water pick or specialized brushes that can clean in between teeth.
Skin cancer is the most common cancer in the U.S., and it only takes one blistering sunburn event during childhood or adolescence to nearly double a person's chance of developing melanoma later in life. While sunburns are thought to be short-term concerns, there are also long-term risks to sun exposure, including for infants. For infants, it's best to avoid peak sun hours from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. If that's not possible, cover the baby with a shade or long-sleeved clothing and hat.
The more UV exposure a child gets, especially, so the younger in life that it starts, and the more sunburns they have, the higher their risk for skin cancer later in life.
Doctors recommend parents and caregivers use sunscreen that has physical blockers in it rather than chemical blockers because they're better for sensitive skin. Look for ingredients, titanium dioxide or zinc oxide, when choosing a safe sunscreen for babies.
Coming up, a new luxury hotel is opening up in the land down under, and don't let its past life give you pause. How the country is giving new life to an old building. Welcome back. You were looking at a very windy Goldsboro. Even our camera shaking there. You're watching WREL News, available on Spectrum and the WREL app on your TV or streaming device. Hold on to your hats today.
Yeah, no doubt. About 14 million current jobs will vanish in the next 5 years. That's according to the World Economic Forum's recent findings on the future of jobs. Artificial intelligence within companies will have both a negative and positive effect. While the new jobs will be made to manage AI, that same technology could eliminate administrative and record-keeping roles. Retirees are headed to the South, Southwest, and West to enjoy their latter years. According to data analyzed by the Census Bureau, 78,000 seniors aged 60 and older moved to Florida in 2021. A study from a financial technology company credits low taxes and sunny skies for the big move. Arizona was number two, South Carolina, North Carolina, and Tennessee rounded out the top five. We know we're a big attraction here.
Yeah, absolutely. Not a bad list. I lived in Florida before I came here, and it was beautiful. You know, summertime is a little, oof. But,
yeah.
You know, still a nice place to live. But here's better.
You don't even have to be 60 and up to enjoy it.
Exactly.
Sure. Especially a day like today. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRL Severe Weather Center right now with all that sunshine out there.
It looks so pretty. It's so nice to have a dry stretch that starts today and lasts all the way into the weekend. It is windy out there, though. We took a look at the whirligigs in Wilson a little while ago. You can see the trees here in Goldsboro really moving around. We're seeing gusts up to 30 miles per hour right now, and it's likely to be blustery again tomorrow, too. Here's a live look at Apex. You can see the power line there kind of moving around and the trees. It's windy out there. Chapel Hill, this is a look courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant and, of course, our newsroom there in Fayetteville. So here's a look at the big picture. We have a low pressure system that is circulating around the Great Lakes. All the precipitation is really up close to that low, so we're not seeing any of that today. But we are seeing the wind coming out of Canada and right down into North Carolina. The cold front that came through yesterday is long gone, and it is dry. It's going to be a dry flow for us for the next several days. But until we see a high pressure system starting to build back in, we're going to continue to see this flow of chilly air. So we stay on the cool side as this air wraps around this low, and that is likely to stick with us at least through Wednesday before we start to see the pattern breaking down. We definitely saw plenty of rain in April, that is for sure. We did end up with the second wettest April on record. That's now back looking down toward, say, 1945. Total precipitation for April was 7.8 inches, the average 4.3, and so far this year we've seen 16 and a half inches. So it's been wet, wet, wet. But our rain chances this week are much lower. You may want to get out and wash the car. I had somebody ask me about the yellow pine pollen. Are we done with it? Typically, we do see it tapering off at the end of April, beginning of May. And I've decided to go ahead and clean the porch. So it must be over, right? It better be. In terms of how much rain we've seen, it's been really crazy over the last 30 days. We've seen 225% of normal from the Triangle area westward here in blue. And in the green, along the I-95 corridor, about 150% of normal, again, for the last 30 days. So we have had a lot of rain. The next thing is cooler than normal temperatures, like we talked about 30 minutes ago. The coolest day is likely to be Wednesday. We'll wake up Wednesday morning to mid-40s, Thursday morning mid-40s, closer to 50 on Friday. Into the weekend, it warms up slightly, but still not quite to normal. 77 is normal. We'll keep it just below that Saturday and Sunday. We have a very small chance of a shower as we're looking at Susan Susan G. Komen Race for the Cure. We are proud sponsors of that. So variably cloudy Saturday and Sunday, but mostly things are looking dry and pleasant from now all the way into the weekend. All righty. Thank you, Elizabeth. A new luxury hotel in Australia is ready to greet visitors. Coming up, why taking a break from it all could take on new meaning.
We wrap things up with a few of the headlines we are following for you today. With breaking news, one of the men charged with the murder of a Wake County deputy has escaped jail. Authorities say Alder Maureen Sotelo and another inmate were able to get out of the Piedmont Regional Jail in Virginia. Sotelo and his older brother are charged with murdering Ned Berg. The Prince Edward County Sheriff's Office is asking anyone who sees the men who escaped to call 911.
And we're working to learn new information of when a man who reportedly confessed to Ohio police that he killed his wife will be brought back to North Carolina. Jeffrey La Cortiglia told police he shot and killed his wife in Spring Lake. Deputies found her body in the couple's home. We will have any updates on the story starting on our news at 4.
Two people are dead and another injured after a deadly car crash in Clinton. It happened around 11:45 on Reedsford Road last night. The driver is 21-year-old Lucas Garcia. He was killed. Troopers are working to identify the other person who died as well as the person who was taken to the hospital.
National Nurses Week is approaching, and Chipotle is giving away free food to celebrate. The chain restaurant wants to award healthcare workers with up to $1 million in free Chipotle. Healthcare heroes can now sign up to win a burrito care package through Chipotle's website. Each package feeds a group of 50, so workers can celebrate with the rest of their hardworking team. Submissions to enter into the giveaway will close on the last day of Nurses Week, which is May 12th. Chipotle will reach out to the winners a week after. And you can now enjoy the sweetest part of a popular breakfast cereal as a treat. Lucky Charms Magical Marshmallows are now on sale at retailers across the country. The charms will feature the well-known symbols people eat as part of the cereal, including horseshoes, clovers, blue moons, hearts, and stars. Just Magic Marshmallows are on sale for a limited time. The price, just under $5.
Get ready to immerse yourself in Australia's newest eclectic luxury hotel with a storied history. The Interlude is home to 19 heritage suites. It includes a reflection garden, relaxation pool, much more. And oh, did we mention it was once the country's most infamous prisons? The HM Prison Pentridge near Melbourne opened a billion-dollar dining and entertainment venue complete with the original cell block doors.
The owners had a vision here to create something really special, and rather than, like so many developments, knock down and start again, they really wanted to preserve the unique history here with an experience quite unlike any other.
And one night locked up in this urban retreat starts at $450.
That's a pricey prison. Mm-hmm. Our pet of the day comes to us from Love Mutts. Meet Mama Rose. She's about 45 pounds. She's 3 years old. Mama Rose is friendly with everyone who visits and loves to run and play with other dogs. Rosie looks like a shepherd hound mix, but the shelter isn't sure. You can contact Love Mutts if you are interested. She's so cute.
Get out there on a day like this, get a nice walk. Stay out of the grassy areas. Yeah. It might still be a little wet. Skin cancer is one of the most common cancers in the United States, also one of the most preventable. Today at 4 on WRL News, what you can do to keep your skin safe. And we have all that sunshine coming in the next few days. So even though the temperatures will be a little bit cooler, be protected out there.
I was just going to say, we're getting into that, you know, summer season. Temperatures are warming up. Got to protect the skin, always. All right, NBC News Daily is next on WREL, and your next local news update is in 30 minutes.
And remember, you can always get breaking news updates anytime with our WREL News app. Have a great day.
Watching WREL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.